Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Are We Justified by Faith or Work?
Grace, mercy, and peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to look with you at an apparent contradiction in the Scriptures. I say the word apparent because what do we know about the Bible? Jesus says in John chapter 10, Scripture cannot be broken. Now, Paul says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed. And Peter says in his second letter, no prophecy of Scripture ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So are there any contradictions in the Scriptures? No, because the Scriptures are inerrant. Without error, they are the infallible, God-given word of the living God. But there are certain things that appear to be contradictions until you look at them with closer inspection. The one that I'd like to look with you at today is on the ultimate doctrine, which is justification. Now, when you look at Paul's letters, it's very clear it's by faith alone, apart from works. If you look at James, though, it seems to say not by faith alone, but by works. How do we understand that apparent contradiction between Paul and James on the ultimate doctrine of the Scriptures, justification? Because that's how we're saved. We got to get this one right. Amen? If you get that wrong, you don't get saved. So we need to understand this rightly. So let's take a look at James and Paul and see whether they're contradicting each other or going along together. Let's take a look at these two and see what to understand of justification, how a person is justified or becomes righteous before God. Well, first of all, if you look at Paul, it is by faith alone, apart from your works, right? You know that. Over here in Romans chapter 3, for example, that famous verse, no human being will be justified in his sight, God's sight, by works of the law, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So works? No. Apart from that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they're justified by God's grace as a free gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. So that's faith, not by works of the law. Paul's very clear about this. One other quick look at that one, and that very famous verse in Ephesians chapter 2, you could probably say it with me, although I'll say it here alone. But Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift, free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. That's very clear, isn't it? If it's not because of works and not your own doing, it's by faith alone, because he's just canceled out works. That being said, now we turn over and look at James. What does James say about justification? Let's look at verses 20 and following of chapter 2. James says, do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Justified by works. When he offered his son Isaac upon the altar, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now listen carefully, verse 24 says, you see that a man is justified by works, and not by faith alone. Doesn't that seem like an apparent contradiction between James and Paul? How would you understand this? Are these two in disagreement with each other on how a person is saved? Or do they go together and agree? Remember, this is the ultimate doctrine of Scripture, justification. You got to get this right if you're going to be saved. So we need to make sure we understand this. So James and Paul, what are we to say about these people? Are they contradictory? Are they saying the same thing? Well, let's first of all note this, okay? When James is talking here, he is obviously acknowledging that the preaching of justification by faith alone was well known and received amongst the churches, right? Because he's addressing that issue. So it was obviously something well known and preached and received amongst the Christian churches. Otherwise, why did he even mention it? So that's positive, right? By faith alone, justification by faith alone was well known. Secondly, the Scriptures teach us that actually James and Paul were in total agreement. Because if you look over here at Galatians chapter 2, Paul says he went up to Jerusalem by revelation, and he says, "And I, Paul, laid before them," that's going to be Peter and James and John, "but privately before those who are of repute, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I had run in vain." So he went up to Jerusalem to make sure everybody's on totally the same page, right? "And from those who were reputed to be something," what they were, "and it makes no difference to me," says Paul, "God shows no partiality, but from those who are of repute, I say they added nothing to me." In other words, they were in total agreement. "But on the contrary, when they," including James, "saw that I'd been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for the mission to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles. And then when they perceived the grace that was given to me," listen carefully, James, who we're talking about, "and Peter and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." So what did James say when Paul laid his doctrine of justification out before him? "Amen, Paul. Shake hands on it. Right hand of fellowship. Peter, James, and John all said, we're on the same team. Go for it, Paul. You're doing great." So Scriptures say they're saying the same thing. How then do we reconcile the fact that Paul says faith alone, not works? James says justification by works, it seems. Doesn't that seem contradictory? Well, how do we resolve this? Very simple. Like I said, closer inspection. And what's the cardinal rule of interpreting Scripture? You got to read it in context. You got to know who they're writing to. You know what? Paul and James are writing to two different audiences. They're both Christians, but they're in different situations. Paul is writing his letters primarily to those who need to know how to be saved, and that it's not by works. It's a free gift of God, received by faith, by what Christ has done for you. Because there were a lot of false teachers going around in those days, and you got to keep Moses' law and save yourself by your own works. Paul says, absolutely no. It's a free gift through faith in Jesus Christ. He was preserving that. Who was James writing to, though? He's writing to Christians who know Paul's gospel, that you're justified by faith alone, but what were they doing? Turning it into a license for sin. They were saying, in other words, I know Paul's gospel. I'm saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And that since it's not my works, I can continue to live in evil and produce wicked works, and I'm still saved, because after all, it's by grace alone, not my works. So I can continue in evil and expect to be saved. And James's answer to that is, no way. That is not justifying faith. That's not the kind of faith that justifies. Look at what he says on the letter, for example. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." You got to actually do it and not just hear these things. "If anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is in vain." He's talking to people who think, I'm Christian, I'm saved by grace through faith, but I'm going to continue in evil. He then brings up the subject of a poor man coming in with ragged clothes, And then a rich man comes into their church. He says, you pay attention to the rich man and give him honor, but you're despising and treating shamefully this poor man. He says, then, have you not made then distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Is that what Christ saved you to do? What does it profit, he says, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? In other words, is that justifying faith? What do you think? Is that justifying faith if a person says, I believe in Jesus Christ, saved by grace through faith, but I have no works, no good deeds, but I go and continue in evil? Is that kind of the kind of faith that justifies? That's what James is addressing here. A faith that has no works and even produces evil. Is that justifying? For if a brother or a sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? Says James. That's of no use. He says, that is actually in vain. That kind of faith is empty. It's useless. What does it profit? He says, so faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. So what is James addressing here? Not whether faith justifies you, he's going to agree with that, but what kind of faith justifies you? The kind of faith that does evil and continues in nothing but wickedness? That's not the kind of faith that justifies. So you see, they're writing to two different audiences. Paul is writing to those who want to know how to be justified. It's as a free gift, through faith, by grace alone, through faith alone. James is saying, but what kind of faith is going to justify you? Because we need to make sure you're not relying on a false premise, a delusion, with a hypocritical faith. Because that is not the kind of faith that saves. So James is actually, maybe you could call him the apostle of the kick in the pants. These people needed a kick in the pants. Because they were presuming upon grace and then continuing in wickedness. James says in James 2:18, but some of you will say, you have faith and I have works. And then he says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. So he's not speaking against faith, is he? He's exalting faith. He's just exalting it and saying, let's understand what real true faith is. By my works, by what I do, I will show you, make known publicly, give outward evidence that my faith is true and not a sham and false or dead, as he says. He says, you believe that God is one. Great job, O churches, you do well. Even the demons believe that much and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by works, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Here's the quiz. When was Abraham justified? Was it when he offered his son on the altar, or was it when he first believed in Jesus, in the promises of God? When he first believed, long before he ever did the works, he was justified, says the scriptures, before God by faith alone, before he ever did any works. Being justified by faith and works, by faith, I mean, alone, what was the result of that down the road? When God tested him, he was faithful, right? His works showed his faith. That's what James means when he says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So again, Paul is saying, how are you saved? By God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, receiving the free gift. You are justified the moment you believe, before you've done any works. But then you bring forth that, show your faith outwardly that you have a true justifying faith in following Christ's loyalty. And in that way, your works, James says, in a sense, indirectly justify you because they prove something, don't they? What do they prove? your true works in Christ, the good that comes out of you, is giving outward evidence that your faith is true and justifying. It's not dead, but it's alive. It's not a sham, but it's true. It's not a mask, it's genuine. It's not hypocritical, but the real McCoy. It's not dead, but it's alive. Does this make sense to you? What would be the profit if I said, hey, I'm going to be faithful to you, Beth. I'm your husband, and then I fool around with all the girls in town. Would that be a justifying faith in Beth's sight? By no means. That would not be a true marriage. You know, I'm her husband, let's say, by grace. But then I show that out in faithfulness and loyalty to her because I love her. Do James and Paul therefore agree? Absolutely. Do you know that Paul says the exact same things as James throughout his letters? Paul says, by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. Kareen, you're on the spot. What's the next verse? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So notice, freely saved apart from works, but then saved for a life of good works. You know, that's a living faith is what he's talking about. In that same letter, he says, be sure of this, that no fornicator or an impure man or one who is covetous, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for it's because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That's the same letter. He says, be careful of such things. He says, a man is not, in Galatians, a man's not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified. Amen?
Amen.
Same letter, Galatians. A little later, though, he says, for you are called to freedom, brethren, but don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he's also going to reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. In other words, faith, true justifying faith, is going to result in a life of faithfulness. You can't have faith without faithfulness or faithfulness without faith. That sounds exactly the same as James was speaking. So you're justified, friends, by faith alone. But the faith which saves is never alone. And your works give outward evidence of a true faith, and thereby, in that way, sort of indirectly justify you to show that you have the true faith that has received Christ's righteousness as a gift. Is that the same teaching we find in the rest of the Bible? Does Peter agree with that, do you think? What do you think, Cheryl? Does Peter agree? Listen to this. In Acts 10, Peter preaches to him, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. Does that sound like faith alone, Jeff? Absolutely. Peter's preaching faith alone. But then he says in 2 Peter, for this reason, therefore, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection and love. For if you do this, you will never fall. If you are zealous to confirm your call and election, and so therefore there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, faith alone, and then conquering with that faith. It's accompanied by works, in other words. Did John agree with this, do you think? John says, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, believe equals salvation, faith alone. Then he says in his letter, by this we may be sure that we know him. He who abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, right? For if you say you are in the light and hate your brother, you're in the darkness still. In other words, if you truly believe, let's walk in love. Not that we're perfect in these things. But the aim of faith is obedience. You know, we want to follow our Lord. If you only aim at evil, how is that justifying faith? That's the point. Jesus says the same. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. What works are mentioned there? None. It's faith in me that saves you. Faith alone. But then he also says this in Matthew 7. Not everyone, though, who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil doers. Notice, the works bore witness to whether they had a real faith. They claimed to be Christians, doing his deeds. He says, those were evil deeds. I know your faith by means of them. Depart from me. So, it's faith alone that justifies you. But the faith which justifies you is never alone. It's accompanied by the deeds that follow it. For the tree is known by its fruit, says the Lord. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. That's salvation by faith alone. And I will raise him up at the last day. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and don't do what I tell you? That's the works. My mother and my brothers and my sisters, etc., are those who hear the word of God and keep it and do it. So do you think this message is kind of needed in the church today and in the world? How many Americans call themselves Christians? I think it's like 82% or something like that. How many of them, let's say pastors and bishops, are preaching transgenderism or abortion or sexual promiscuity or homosexuality or living in scandals and thievery, claiming the name of Christian? Do they have justifying faith? How about the laity who says, I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Hooray! I can continue in evil, because it's not my works, after all. I can pursue just money, and I can sleep around with all the girls in town, and still boast, no, I'm saved, because it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Praise God. Does that person have a justifying faith? Or are they deceiving themselves? The tree is known by its fruits. And Luther said the same thing. He championed, as you know, justification by faith alone. But he agreed and said the exact same thing as Peter, Paul, James, Jesus, and the rest. He said, faith must, though, of course, be sincere. It must be a faith that performs good works through love. If faith lacks love, that is not true faith. Thus the apostle bars the way of hypocrites to the kingdom of Christ on all sides. To think if faith justifies without works, let's work nothing, is to despise the grace of God. Listen carefully. Luther said, idle faith is not justifying faith. It's one thing to say that faith justifies without works. That's true. But it's another thing to say that faith exists without works. Look at these candles here. Martin Luther said, you can no more separate faith from works than you can separate the flame up there from the heat pouring off of it. If I put my hand up here, I feel the heat. I'm feeling it. Are you feeling the heat today? The flame is your faith. That's what saves you, but it's pouring off heat because the two just plain go together. When I feel heat, I know that there's a real candle under me. That is a real fire, not a pseudo false one. And so that is the faith which justifies. You're justified by faith alone, but as Luther would say, the faith which saves is never alone. It's accompanied by the deeds of faith that follow. Paul, James, Peter, John, Jesus, and Luther all agree on this. So, in conclusion, what's the upshot of all this? Great gospel. This is fantastic. It means that God gets all the glory through Jesus Christ, because you're saved not by your deeds, but by His cross, His salvation, His righteousness, which He gifts to you. All glory to Jesus. Secondly, we get salvation as a free gift received by faith. The moment you believe, you're saved. Hooray for that. You're free. Thirdly, We all then live together in the joy of love, which is the fruit of faith. And love binds everything together in perfect harmony. And this is the great plan of God. And in it, God restores all things for us in our lives and in our eternity to peace and joy and good through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Are We Justified by Faith or Works? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul. And God bless you.